This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I think they're trending in the right direction, Catherine. I hope we don't have to do that. If so, we've wasted a couple weeks here or so. But I think we're rather confident about their timeline, and it's going to probably bump up into that, 2.5 to 4 week area. But I just feel like where we're at with it is we're moving forward in a good way, and we are looking forward to getting those guys back. But they're not going to be back. They will not return this week.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott rules out Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson for Sunday night's game against Baltimore. Gives kind of the timeline update on when they could return. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast joining us on the Western Hotline to chat about the Bills' domination of Jacksonville and the upcoming game against Baltimore. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. I mean, this season, it's not like this season was ever going to be a lost year, Joe, but it does feel like in 3 short weeks, the Bills have given Bills Mafia a reason to just kind of look forward, like, all right, it's one of the regular Josh Allen, Sean McDermott years where being a real contender seems like a real thing once again.
Yeah, I think that's true, but it's also a very different team in terms of how the look and feel of it is. And, the Bills have had good starts. I mean, obviously last year, the week one was a disaster, but they, mopped the floor with their next three opponents. So we've seen this happen. And then, by midseason, you're firing your offensive coordinator and needing to rally to kind of achieve what you want. So, the NFL season is short and long all at the same time, but I don't think you could be anything but impressed by what the Bills have shown through 3 weeks, and especially the adaptability of how they can play the games and how non-game script dependent they are. And I think that's where I would find hope for the sustainability of this, in addition to a renewed sense of leadership throughout the entire operation. So, long season, but off to a great start.
Yeah, after week one, Joe, we had talked about it, and you said you look forward to perhaps a little bit more versatility, variability in the offense that Joe Brady called. Not that it was bad in any way, but just, we'll see if they do some more things. Miami game, we see a half a game and the defense dominates. Was this game against Jacksonville something you'd been looking for from them?
Well, I think you saw really the full breadth of what the offense can be. Versatile run scheme, running a lot of zone and gap. You saw the play action, 32% play action in this game. I think Jacksonville and their appetite for man coverage just opened up a ton for this offense. I'm really surprised that they stuck with that plan, especially kind of being undermanned at corner. And then, of course, their slot goes down, the backup slot goes down early on. It was interesting to see them kind of stick to who they were. And, I mean, that probably stems from, okay, you want to become a zone team. Well, there's a lot of communication involved there. And so I think you just kind of have to choose your path, and neither one's very attractive. But playing man coverage allowed the Bills to dictate terms, and Josh Allen was able to utilize a lot of the answers that Joe Brady built into the game plan with motions and how that created matchups that were favorable, how that created space and tells for Jacksonville. And, I thought Josh Allen did a really good job of executing the offense, taking what the defense gave him, and then, being choosy with some of those shots down the field. And, six touchdowns by six different players, 5 touchdown drives to start the game. That's good football.
It's funny, we've watched this team try to turn into an offense with more yards after catch, Joe, and it never really took. And this year, it has really started to take. I was looking at some numbers. Like, the yards after catch per reception is up over 7. A Josh Allen offense has never been above 6 before. Like, they're getting that. His depth of target is down as well. So this transition to a quicker, faster, more efficient, his completion percentage is way up. Interceptions, there haven't been any. To me, the whole thing looks like, It's right now, again, everything has to be couched with it's week 3, but it really looks like Allen is completely buying in complete command, and what you have is an offense that, as Joe Brady has built it, I mean, it's running about as efficiently as you could hope for right now.
Yeah, I think that's always kind of been the intrigue of this season, is what does Josh Allen look like with the freedom to execute? There's no stress. I'll say what the coaches and players won't say. There's no stress for Josh Allen to throw the ball to Stephon Diggs 150 times. There's no stress to prove to the world that Gabe Davis is actually a legitimate number 2 wide receiver. All right? And with those narratives gone, Josh Allen can just run the offense. And he's not getting bored with the checkdowns. I mean, I love that against Jacksonville. You know, I think these quarterbacks, it's hard for them. They want to make these big-time throws down the field. But Tom Brady's going to go in the Hall of Fame and be known as the greatest quarterback of all time, because you know what he did? For 20 years, just took what the defense gave him and did the smart right thing with the football. And you're seeing in the Jacksonville game, they're dialing up play action passes. Jacksonville's taking away the deep stuff. And Josh Allen checks it down to James Cook on 1st and 10 on a play action pass. He gets 17 yards. There's nothing boring about that at all. That's good offense. That's smart. And I think you're seeing this yards after catch piece develop, you know, due in part to, I think, the talent that exists. I think there's good yards after catch talent in a Khalil Shakir, in a James Cook, in a Dalton Kincaid. But also, it's the decisions that Josh Allen is making. You know, you have to be willing to give guys chances to catch and run. But then also the ball placement. You know, Josh Allen's putting the ball on the money. Look at the Khalil Shakir touchdown pass last week. Just a little shallow drag. There's nothing special about that play design. It's just, hey, the protection holds up. It's man coverage. Shakir's able to run away and hit the player in stride and give him a chance to stay up and run. And I think that's as big of a deal as anything as it comes to the yards after catch dynamic, is Josh Allen being accurate with the football. And you heard him talk this offseason about, hey, the emphasis is mechanics. He has to remap the mechanics, has had an elbow and a shoulder the last couple of years on the throwing arm. That's created some deficiency in his motion. It's affected ball placement. Let's figure out what that's about and get it corrected. And he has. I mean, Josh is really clean mechanically right now. And so I think all of that baked together is what's leading to a lot of this post-catch production that we hadn't seen in previous years.
Yeah. Is it interesting, the way that it's going, like, this is what you just talked about, something Mahomes has been doing for a couple years, right, where his average depth of target was lower. And I just saw Kevin Cole put out a tweet about the quarterbacks in the league that basically the Bills are getting more EPA from Yak than any other team in the league. Like, they're one of the best teams at it in football through 3 games. You are still, Joe, getting, like, the occasional deep shot, but it's almost interesting that they're going to running backs, right? Like, Ty Johnson's got a couple, they're a little further down. James Cook dropped one. Is that kind of how you expect the right balance to be here, where you're going to see a lot happening around the line of scrimmage all year because the Bills personnel has that advantage? And then maybe more of your plays down the field are Allen scrambling around, just kind of waiting until somebody comes open.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, I think in both of the matchups that he took last week, you know, the James Cook drop down the field and then hitting Ty Johnson down the field, that's an example of dictating matchups. The Bills use motion to force a linebacker on a running back. And they did that with Curtis Samuel against Miami, and Josh just left the throw a little bit short, that end zone target. And so being able to use motion, force a matchup, get a mismatch, and like, hey, you're low 4.4 speed, in the case of Samuel, 4.3 against the linebacker is a great matchup. And so take it. And that kind of that rail route concept gives the receiver, I guess, the back in this situation, a lot of space to work with, because of how the coverage is pulled towards the inside within breaking routes, and then just a lot of space for them to find space to work along that sideline. And so I think they're dictating matchups, and those are good matchups for the Bills. They've had some good looks down the field to MVS. I think it's just a matter of a couple of protection issues and maybe Josh just being a little bit off on some placement. But I really like how Brady's getting to the vertical stuff. It's you know, there's, when guys are specialized with their skill sets, it's predictable what they do. And I think to be able to involve a number of different players down the field and doing so by getting matchups, I think it's a pretty smart idea. And I'm obviously excited to kind of see how that evolves throughout the course of the season.
Quickly to the defense, Joe, how did they make the Jaguars look that bad? Like, the conversation about Trevor Lawrence is shifting and how bad Jacksonville could ultimately be. I mean, the spin move to nowhere, missing open targets. I mean, they were ready for everything Jacksonville had to offer.
Yeah, in studying Trevor Lawrence leading up to the Bills game, I found some very concerning metrics. And this blend of high percentage of throws to the first read, I mean, like 77%, that's Tua territory, with a high average time to throw while also facing a lot of quick pressure. It's a bad recipe, right? You can't throw the – and then 20% deep percentage, just throwing the ball down the field more than any other quarterback. So you're locking onto your first read, you're throwing the ball down the field, you're holding onto it too long, you're getting quick pressure. It's tough. It's a tough way to operate. And so I think there's some structural issues with Jacksonville and their passing game. I don't think they make it easy for Trevor Lawrence at all. A little bit of a Ken Dorsey vibe there, to be honest with you. And then Trevor, just not a guy that's working progressions, not a guy that is understanding coverage rotation and where the space is going to be and making good decisions. So he's talented, but I don't know that the infrastructure is very good for him to be the best version of himself.
And a thought on this week's opponent, Sunday night against Baltimore, how much more scary does Derrick Henry make this Ravens offense? How does it change the way the Bills have usually been able to keep Lamar in check, if it does?
Yeah, it's weird. The Bills kind of been good against both Derrick Henry again and Lamar Jackson, and now you got to deal with them at the same time. The offense presents some unique challenges. It forces you to be really disciplined, forces you to tackle well. I think the big thing for the Bills is embracing a game script where they are aggressive on offense and get a lead, and you kind of force Baltimore to play from behind and try to make them a little bit one-dimensional. And I think that's appealing. I mean, Baltimore's pass defense has been really shaky so far this year, giving up the most yards in the NFL through the air. And I think that's a good recipe for the Bills. Be aggressive, throwing the football, get a lead, and then tee off. And I think, you know, game scripts matter a ton. That's, I think, the big plays that you saw defensively against Miami and Jacksonville are a result of game script and being ahead and being able to be aggressive on defense and putting teams in situations that open the opportunity for negative plays. And so hopefully the Bills can get a lead and do that again against Baltimore.
Quickly to wrap, because this was mentioned on the broadcast, Joe, what would you say to somebody that would make the comment the Bills have the best offensive line in football right now?
I think they're close. I really like what Indy has. I like what Philly has. I mean, the Bills are up there. They definitely have one of the better units. The pass protection's been outstanding. Tackles are elite. I think the middle three played their best game against Jacksonville. Cromer's outstanding. I mean, they're up there. You know, I'm more of a tier guy. Everyone wants to focus on, okay, this team's the best. All right. I mean, I don't know. There's five teams that probably deserve that. So, yeah, they're in the upper echelon of NFL offensive lines for sure.
Very good. Everything's great.
Yeah, everything's great.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. You should subscribe to Joe's podcast, the Locked On Bills podcast, wherever you get your podcast, right through the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get them. We talk every Wednesday. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Howard's going to pick the Bills. I mean, everything's great. I do like what he said there, and game script matters. What's the translation? The best defense is a good offense. Go get Baltimore out of their run game. We know they can do it, right?
You make them one-dimensional when you get
points.
They just did it to Jacksonville and Miami in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Where they, if they wanted to come in running the ball, we would have never seen it. They couldn't. They were down 14.
The Ravens have given up 16 pass plays of 20 yards or more. That is most in the NFL. That was from Sal Capaccio yesterday.
Okay.
16 20-yard pass plays. 803-0550. The Bills have given up 4 by comparison. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.